So instead of going to 2 Timothy, let's first come to John 17. Because what we need to understand concerning overcoming Satan in this world and having courage and confidence, we need to know what Jesus has said and what he is doing. Okay? Verse 14, John 17. All right? Verse 14. I've given them your words, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. That's Satan, the devil. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to fight him. We'll see that. Now, since Jesus prayed that, and he prayed for all of the subsequent disciples from the time, from that time until he returns, all right, let's come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's see in this model prayer that we are likewise to ask God to keep us from the evil one. Okay? And of course, start here in verse 9. This is interesting. Verse 1. First thing he taught the apostles was, pray to the Father. The beginning of the revelation of the Father, because Jesus said that he came to reveal the Father to the ones he personally chooses. Now think on that. Isn't that interesting? Let me tell you a little conversation that I had from a newly converted Protestant about 5 years ago. He said, when I was in the Church of Christ, they said, if you have Jesus, you have it all. Now he said that because I was doing a Bible study with a nice group of people there through the Gospel of John. And he told me that they never went through that in their church. But if you have Jesus, you have it all. But John writes in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, that if you don't have the Father, you don't have Christ. And if you have Christ, but you don't have the Father, you don't have salvation. And Jesus verified that back there in John 14, where he says, we will make our abode with you. Now, a little sidebar over here. Okay, we are a dwelling place of God. And he says there in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, that I will walk in them, and they will be my sons and my daughters. Okay? Now, keep that in mind. I got an email from Dwight Blevins, and he's been in the church a long time, been down in Pasadena and all of that. And he said it just dawned on him the fatal blow to the church was when the founder built a temple for God. He said this was his Hezekiah moment. And he invited the world to celebrate the opening of it. Now, what does God say in Isaiah 66? Where is the temple that you will build for me? For all these things my hands have made. What are you going to do for God when God wants to do everything for you, because every one of us, of and by ourselves, are really nothing? See? When we were first conceived, the naked eye could not even see us. Speaketh us to a Son of God. So what are we going to do to glorify God? Love God. Keep his commandments, right? That it? So what happened? It was all taken away. And they're ready now to tear down the Hall of Administration. And he gave the auditorium, the Temple of God, to a Chinese Pentecostal Protestant church. And they had their blessing after they bought it, and guess who inaugurated it for them? Benny Hinn, a bit of irony and justice, correct? So he said that was the last straw. And that's just about right. Everything began to fall away from there. Now, I remember what it was because I sat there and I listened to the, what was it, part of the Vienna Symphony Orchestra playing all of Beethoven's Ode. Okay, remember that? Now, sidebar over, back here to Matthew 6. Therefore, you are to pray after this manner, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. See, not this kingdom here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that is through all the prophecies for the world. That's through every one of us, through God's Holy Spirit within our lives. So this is all encompassing, see? God's will encompasses everything, does it not? Yes, indeed. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. We are rescued. You can read it in Colossians, the first chapter. The Father himself has personally rescued us from the evil one, Satan, the devil. Okay? So, what goes on out in the world? Don't worry about it. Be alert. Don't get caught up in it. Understand what is happening, but don't get involved in it. All right? Now, with that, come back here to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Now, let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Too many times you'd miss the first two or three verses, and those happen to be the most important because that's the introduction and blessing on the rest of what is written. Okay? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, we need that, don't we? Grace and peace? Yes. Mercy? Yes. Especially today. I know I was channeling the other night, as I told you, going through all the channels, and there was one flash of one thing that I saw that later I couldn't get out of my mind. So when that happens, I pray about it and ask God to take it away. See? Because that could be a flash of a beginning of an entrance from Satan the devil. See? So, need to be aware of those things. All right. I'm grateful to God, whom I have been serving from the days of my forefathers, with a pure conscience, because I never failed to remember you in my supplications day and night. That's called intercessory prayer. We've got a nice sermon coming from Steve Durham about intercessory prayer. As I recall your tears, I'm longing to see you so that I may be filled with joy when I remember your unfeigned faith that is to you, which is in you, rather, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it also dwells in you. For this reason, I admonish you. See? Why? Because people always get the blahs. No one is exempt from that, okay? Sometimes you get them so bad, you got to go to bed. Blah. Right? Okay. I admonish you to stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. Now, how do we stir up the Spirit of God? With the Word of God. With crying out to God. With studying all the Word of God as you can, see? Because what happens, see? What about the Word of God? Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing, see? So then, with the Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ in you, when you are reading the Word of God, that will open your mind to understanding, and you will be surprised how much your thoughts change when you read the Word of God. And God's Spirit is actively working with you. See? That's how you stir it up. Okay? That you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Okay? Laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to be afraid. Even though we see these things going on. Stop and think for just a minute. I wonder what it was like living in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem just before it was destroyed in 70 AD. That must have been something. And I imagine a lot of them thought, well, Jesus is going to return at any time. Then after 3.5 years, it's over. Now what do we do? Right here. Always stay with God because we know this. Nothing is going to work out the way we may think. Now think on this. We already covered the example of Daniel. And how we said at the resurrection, he's going to ask God, did it all turn out? He said, well, go talk to the Apostle John. He'll give you the other half. Okay? Okay? Of power and of love and of sound mindedness. But all of this must be done on a daily basis. Now you can look at it this way. Every morning when you get up, you go through your routine, right? Whatever it is, the wake up, however it is, okay. And every morning, God has designed the body to get rid of waste, right? Okay? Yes. Then you do what? You eat food and you feel better, correct? Well, look at it this way daily spiritually, okay? We need to get rid of the waste that is in our minds through prayer and then later study, see? And to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, see? Every day. So, if we do that, then we won't be able to be stirred up, trusting God, not being afraid. Okay? All right. Sound-mindedness. Let's see what else we are to do here. Okay? We are to resist the devil in faith. Let's come to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Because Satan is going to come around one way or the other. And when does he come? When you are at your weakest. Yes. Look at this. I will give you a benefit. All right. Verse 6, 1 Peter 5. He's talking to all the elders there. Okay, let's pick it up here. Now we'll have to go back to verse. Okay. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you shall receive an unfading eternal crown of glory. That's what we're looking for. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. In the same manner, you younger men be subject to the older men. Why? Because young men have a problem of pride and vanity. Not that old men don't, but they should be taking care of themselves better than the younger men. And all of you be subject to one another, being clothed with humility. When you are not close to God, then the self wells up, doesn't it? Yes. Because God sets himself against the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now here's how you pray every day, in addition to what we've already covered. Casting all your cares upon him, all of them, because he cares for you. Now, why? What if you have something that is just really, really, really bothering you, and you don't take it to God, and you don't let him help you resolve it, you don't study how to resolve it. Okay? Look at what happens. Who comes? Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. See? If there's any one thing that Christians need to do is be diligent, be vigilant, be on top of it all the time. See? And that comes every day, every day, every day, every day. See? For your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion. But remember, he doesn't roar until he has captured his prey. He comes purring. He comes with benefits. He comes with an advantage. Seeking whom, or seeking anyone, he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So you see, if you're not praying, you're not studying, you're not being stirred up, how's your faith? Well, kind of sagging, right? Yes. Well, it's kind of like you don't have all the armor on to fight against him, right? See? Okay, so there it is. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. So that's why we pray for everyone. We pray every day for people we don't know and never met, but have the Spirit of God. Okay? Likewise, with what we believe concerning Jesus Christ, spiritually we know him, but we never met him in person. We have never seen him in person, yet we believe because of the power of God's Spirit and his word and his truth. Okay? Now, what is that going to be like? You know, the more I think about the resurrection, the more I think, boy, being on that sea of glass is going to be one fantastic time. Absolutely marvelous. You know, we get old and decrepit and die. And, you know, the last time you're conscious to look at yourself in the mirror, you think, really, this happened to me? And then at the resurrection, you look and say, woo, look at what happened here. Okay? All right. Resist him. Now, verse 10, claim this promise. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a little while, himself perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Like Gene mentioned the other day. He mentioned that he asked me, why is he going through the trial? And I told him, when you're done with it, you'll understand. See? So likewise, when we're going through a trial and it hasn't come to a conclusion, when it does, you'll understand. I go along now and I think of things that we went through years and years ago. And I look back at it and I say, huh, that's why. See? Now then, I am sure there are going to be a lot of things at the resurrection that we're going to look back and say, huh, that's why. Okay? Perfect you. Now notice, himself, the God of all grace, himself, that's the Father himself loves you. God the Father is involved in this. Perfect you. That's why we go through it. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the power into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now that's quite a promise to keep, isn't it? God will keep it. So what do? When we have something we don't understand, we go to God and say, I don't understand it. Help me through this. He'll give you a little bit of understanding. You keep coming back for more. Okay? God will help you in it. Okay? Now, let's come to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Here is how we grow in grace and knowledge and be stirred up. Number one, prayer. Number two, by approaching, growing and overcoming this way. Okay. First of all, let's come to Proverbs 1, verse 32. Okay? Proverbs 1, verse 32, then. We'll get into Proverbs 2, okay? Now, let's go to verse 31, okay? Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. It will all come back on them. And like the psalmist said, he was perplexed that all of the wicked prosper. That they don't have trouble. They don't have problems. Why is that, God? And he was ready to really get in a bad attitude until he took it to God. Then he said, ooh, I understand. Verse 32, for the waywardness of the simple shall slay them, and the complacency of fools destroy them. But whoever hearkens to me, that's the wisdom and spirit of God, shall dwell safely and shall be secure without fear of harm. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. Now let's look at it this way. Let's apply these things spiritually. My son, are you son or daughter of God? Yes, you are. Okay. If, conditional. See, the question mark is never God. The question mark is never his word. Now, it may be the question mark in our mind is, we don't understand it, but that doesn't mean that it's not right. Okay. If you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. Now, how does that compare with Hebrews 10:16? I will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts, right? Yes. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And understanding comes this way. You must first have knowledge, then comes understanding, then comes wisdom. Verse 3, yea, if, so here we have two ifs within two verses. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if, so here's the third one, you seek after her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. That's how we are to study the Bible, right? Yes, because these are the true riches of life. Then, it's like one, two, three. Whoa, look at that. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Think how many people in the world don't understand a thing about the Bible. Nothing about the Bible. And there are a lot of them who hold the Bible and teach certain things from the Bible, but they don't understand it. Think about the magnitude of the knowledge that God has given to his people to understand his plan, to know what's going on. That is a fantastic thing. Then, see, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. See, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And wisdom is you take knowledge and understanding and apply it and put it together and see how it fits to this pattern and fits to that pattern and fits to the other thing, you see. Wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. That's why none of the wicked understand. It says the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the righteous shall understand, right? Yes. He gives it to the righteous. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. God is going to protect you. Add in there Psalm 91. See? You are hidden in the shadow of God's protection. Can you see angels? No. Can anybody else see angels? No. There's going to come a time you're going to realize an angel of God has protected you from something. Okay? Or cause you to just have a thought to do a little something different, and you just miss great trouble. That ever happened? Yes, indeed. Okay? Shield to those who walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of right judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then, Now notice, if, then. It increases. It becomes more. Then you shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity, every good path. You can be smart as you want to in the world, but Paul says, those who declare themselves the smart in the world, the intellects, they're fools. Since we're the creation of God, if we don't know anything about God, how are we at all successful in anything? See? Think of the pharaohs. Okay? Think of all of the philosophers of ancient Greek. Where are their philosophies today? Then, now, verse 10. Wisdom shall enter into your heart. That's what we want, the wisdom of God. We're to be the righteousness and wisdom of God, correct? Yes. And knowledge shall be pleasing to your soul. You will desire and want to have the knowledge of God. Discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you. Remember, everything we do is a choice. So you must have all of these things to make the right choices. God is there to protect us. God is there to guard us. God is there to help us. But he wants our full active cooperation and work all the time. Verse 12. To deliver you from the way of the evil. We could also put one instead of just man. We are to be delivered from the evil one. Isn't that what we are to pray? Yes, indeed. Now, especially today, with all the cunning devices of Satan, the devil. I mean, this is Satan's world. Now then, here is, okay, from the evil man or the evil one, from the man who speaks wicked things. Now, wicked things can be very enticing. So, it's not, hey, let's go down here and cut this guy's head off. No. Oh, did you know? Oh, I've got one here about how you can live as, you can make all kinds of money off the government. Okay? A benefit. Okay? You get a girl pregnant and don't marry her. But she goes get the benefit from the government. Okay? Then, you buy a house and rent it to her. And the government will pay her $900 a month for rent. Then, since you're not working, you can get on disability. And if you get on disability, then you can get food stamps. And if you get on food stamps and you have everything, you're one of the government's wards, then you get medical care. Okay? See, all of those are enticing benefits that are sin. Because God says, if a person is not willing to work, he won't eat. Oh, that's cruel. Boy, a Democrat, come cut your head off. Okay. Now also, to deliver you from the wanton woman, even from the stranger who flatters with her words. Now, God is not picking on women, but the truth of the matter is, when sexual temptations come along, men become very weak. And the woman who says no is the last barrier to sin. Okay? So that's why it brings out about women. See? Look what has happened to so many people. We talked earlier about Tiger Woods. Well, he's never won a major golf game since then. See? Once you go violently against God, when you know better, it's hard to recover. See? That's why every day, prayer, study, yielding to God. It's just like you eat every day, isn't that correct? Why? Because if you don't, you're going to get weak. Isn't that true? You drink water every day. And if you don't, you're going to be deprived and you're going to be thirsty and your body isn't going to function well. Correct? Likewise, spiritually. See? If you don't drink in of the Word of God and His Spirit, and if you don't, what does it say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? In other words, if you spiritually are fed on the Word of God and nourished with the Spirit of God, it's just like eating and drinking daily. You maintain your health. When difficult times come, what do you have to do? Well, you have to cut back and get rid of the extra toxins in your body, right? Yes. Okay. So all of these things fit. This is how we do it. Okay. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 4. And this is what we are to do daily. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Nope, verse 18. There we go. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. Now, if that is not a New Testament scripture, what is the perfect day? The resurrection. Yes, right? Okay. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Isn't that true? They don't know. Well, why this? We don't know. Why that? We don't know. Why did he do this? We don't know. Why did she do that? How could anyone ever do that? We don't know. Okay. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words daily. Incline your ear to my sayings. That's how you fight against sin. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. Boy, look at all the New Testament doctrine we're covering right here in the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Now notice verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And how about spiritually? Spiritual health to our spirit and our relationship with God. And our relationship with each other. Yes. Verse 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind or heart. They're synonymous here. Okay. How? With diligence. That's how we stir ourselves up, with diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Life and death. Conversion. Truth. Love, all of those things together, see? Fighting against all the forces of evil in the world and the things that you hear and the things that you see. That's how it is. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and all your ways shall be established. What did we read in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter? That the Lord will settle you, strengthen you, and establish you. Right? Yes, indeed. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Don't get involved in it. Change. All right. Now, let's come to Psalm, since we're right close here, Psalm 147, just back a couple of pages. Psalm 147, okay? Psalm 147, verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for praise is pleasant and becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Now remember, we're going to live in New Jerusalem. And Jesus said, if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Think about what that is going to be like, okay? He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Now think of that. Think of how many people are wandering around, don't know what to do. We do. God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. Okay. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Okay. Verse 10. He delights not in the strength of the horse, nor a power car. But he sure likes his cherubim, doesn't he? How's that for a power car? Pew, pew, pew. Wherever you want to go. Okay? He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, who hope in his steadfastness. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. All right. Now let's finish by coming here to Hebrews 13. You can count on this, because God is true. He cannot lie. His word is true. Everything that he says he's going to do, he will do. All of the ifs that are conditional for us, if we yield to him and follow that, he will be with us, he will bless us, he will keep us from the evil one. Christ prayed for all of us to keep us from the evil one. See? Now, this world's going to get a whole lot worse. We don't know what's going to happen financially. Everybody's saying, boy, the end of the world's coming right after the Shemitah. Well, we'll wait and see. What if it doesn't? God's still in charge, right? Yes. One little caveat on that to think of. I don't think the Shemitah applies to the Chinese. Do you? Okay, I'll let you think on that. Let's go forward here. All right? Let's pick it up here. Verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior. Now, how's that when your little old lust and your little old greed starts popping up? And then Satan comes along and says, I'll give you a benefit. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, no. But be satisfied with what you have, for he has said, in no way, this is what Jesus said, in no way will I ever leave you. We're all going to be tried. We're all going to be tested. Was Jesus tried and tested? Yes. Did he give his life? Yes. Horrible death, correct? Yes. No, I will never. Now I want you to look at no, never. Three dogmatic negations that he will never do it. I will never forsake you in any way. So then, let us boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Nothing. So that's how we live in this world that's going straight to the depths of hell. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.